Welcome back to Beacon, your daily AI update for founders and builders. It is April 25th, 2026, and today's episode centers on a story that most people are reading wrong. Everyone is talking about DeepSeek V4 as a benchmark story, a pricing story, a spec story. But the real story buried inside the V4 release is a hardware independence story, and what it means that production scale inference is now running on Huawei silicon. We will get to that deep dive. We have also got new data on agent tool call failure rates in production, a genuinely unsettling paper out of Science on AI influence swarms, a sharp conversation about what happens to the data scientist role when the models eat your job function, a builder practical lesson about RAG confidence thresholds in high-stakes domains, and then the DeepSeek plus Huawei deep dive to close. Before we go anywhere, a quick continuity note. Yesterday, we covered how Sam Altman reframed OpenAI as an inference company rather than a model company, and GPT 5.5 launched at $30 per million output tokens as a co-design with NVIDIA's GB200. If you did not catch that episode, the short version is that the pricing and architecture choices were as much a statement of intent as a product launch. Today, Sam Altman's single-line post, GPT 5.5 and GPT 5.5 Pro are now available in the API, confirms the rollout is real. He also posted a teaser earlier asking, what about 5.5 in a reply thread, which in retrospect was a hint. There is not a lot of genuinely new information there beyond availability, so we are not reopening yesterday's story. But the reaction from Reddit is worth a paragraph. The Singularity subreddit thread on GPT 5.5 is interesting because the backlash actually contains a real signal. Multiple users note that benchmark improvements are modest relative to GPT 5.4, but the qualitative feel is distinct. One poster writes that it is like the difference between a college graduate explaining quantum mechanics and an expert. The expert knows the commonly misunderstood parts, the edges where people get confused. That is not a trivial capability shift, even if it does not move numbers on standard evals. There is also a usage limit complaint worth filing. GPT 5.5 apparently consumes tokens at twice the rate of prior models inside the usage quota system, so practical throughput for API users is lower than the nominal rate. If you are building on top of this model, you will want to profile that before assuming the cost math works at your current usage patterns. Also from Sam Altman today, and this one is easy to miss, he retweeted an announcement that OpenAI has open-sourced many of its monitorability evaluations. The original post is from someone on the safety team. The framing is that the research community and other model developers can now use these evals, which is a non-trivial move given how much of the current conversation in safety circles is about monitoring model behavior in deployment. We will not go deep here, but for founders building on top of OpenAI's infrastructure, especially in regulated verticals, this is worth bookmarking. These are the evals OpenAI is using to measure whether a model's internal behavior is observable and legible, which is directly relevant to any compliance or audit conversation you might have with enterprise customers or regulators. Now, let us shift from model releases to the production reality of running agents, because there's a thread from the artificial subreddit community today that is one of those rare posts where someone actually did the work to quantify what most people are only vaguely worried about. The post title is, I ran a logging layer on my agent for 72 hours. 37% of tool calls had parameter mismatches, and none raised an error. Let that land for a second. Over 84 tool calls, 31 of them had a mismatch between what the agent sent and what the tool expected. Not a single one raised an error. The tools accepted the wrong parameters and returned plausible-looking but incorrect output. The builder behind this post categorized four failure types. First, timestamp versus duration. The agent passed a Unix timestamp where the API expected a duration string, like 24H. The API silently interpreted it as a duration, returning results for a completely different time window. Second, inclusive versus exclusive range. The agent sent end equals 100, meaning up to and including 100, but the API interpreted it as exclusive, missing the boundary value, and off by one at the API contract level. Third, array versus comma-separated string. The agent sent a JSON array where the API expected a comma-separated string. Some APIs parsed the array as a single string. Others silently took only the first element. Fourth, relative time versus Unix timestamp. The agent sent yesterday, where an integer was expected. The API tried to parse it as an integer, got NaN, and returned empty results instead of erroring. The most important observation in this thread is not the failure rate itself. It is that these failures look identical to correct results. The API returns 200 okay with a plausible response body. You only detect the problem if you audit whether the answer is right, not whether the call succeeded. The author's framing is worth quoting directly. This is fundamentally different from hallucination. It's not the model making things up. It's the model asking slightly different questions than the one you intended, and the tool happily answering the wrong question. The community response is instructive. One technical commenter argues that all four failures collapse to a single root cause. No schema validation at the tool boundary. Pydantic or JSON schema on every parameter catches yesterday in an integer field, catches the array versus CSV case, catches the duration timestamp mismatch. But another commenter makes the more interesting point. Schema validation handles structural mismatches, but not semantic ones.
If the tool interprets your timestamp as a duration and returns a syntactically valid response, a schema validator does not catch that. You need response-side validators. Does this output make sense, given what we asked, to catch the failures that input validation misses? For builders running agents in production, this thread is a useful forcing function. The question is not whether your agent's outputs look right. It is whether you have any mechanism at all to detect when a tool call succeeded structurally but failed semantically. Most agentic systems I am aware of do not have that layer. If you were logging tool calls, are you logging the input-output pair and checking whether the output is coherent with the intended query? Almost certainly not.
The author says adding input validation schemas has already caught several mismatches that would have propagated wrong data downstream. That is a low-effort architectural addition that is probably worth an afternoon for anyone running agents against real APIs. And here is the connection to a broader pattern. This is exactly the kind of silent failure mode that makes the AI employee framing dangerous. We covered exactly a year ago, and yes, the Reddit thread pointing this out is in today's content, Anthropic's prediction that fully AI employees were 1 year away. That was April 2025. They are not here yet, and the parameter mismatch problem is part of why. Not because the models are not capable enough, but because the infrastructure around the models, the tool interfaces, the validation layers, the monitoring systems, is not built to catch failures that are invisible by design. The model is doing exactly what it was asked to do. The tool is returning exactly what it was configured to return. The contract between them is just slightly wrong, and nobody knows. Now, let us move to a story that has more direct implications for people thinking about information integrity and market trust. There was a paper published in the journal Science this week, a policy forum piece, describing how large groups of AI-generated personas can convincingly imitate human behavior online.
The artificial subreddit thread summarizing it is thin on methodological detail, which is intentional on our part because we do not have the full paper text. But the core finding is unsettling enough to be worth covering. These AI agent swarms can enter digital communities, participate in discussions, and influence viewpoints at what the paper calls extraordinary speed. Unlike earlier bot networks, these agents can coordinate instantly, adapt their messaging in real time, and run millions of micro-experiments to identify which arguments are most persuasive. One operator could theoretically manage thousands of distinct voices. The community response in the thread is worth capturing because it reflects the range of reactions you are likely to hear in any room of builders right now.
One commenter says, "You assume this hasn't already happened." Another draws a direct line to Cambridge Analytica, noting that military-grade capabilities often precede commercial products by years. A third says, "Maybe humans don't belong on the internet anymore." There is a real policy question here. Can platforms actually detect which accounts are bots? The commenter who raised Congress intervening made the point that platforms could technically identify non-human accounts, but have no financial incentive to do so, because bot accounts inflate user metrics. For builders, there is a narrow but real set of implications here.
If you are building anything that aggregates or surfaces social signals, trending topics, community sentiment, forum activity, customer feedback, the reliability of those signals is eroding. Not in some abstract future sense. The paper suggests upcoming elections will be a critical test, and election cycles have historically been the pressure test where these capabilities become fully public. That is within the planning horizon of anything you are building today. If your product's value proposition involves surfacing what people think about something, you should be thinking seriously about what your signal actually represents and how you would know if it had been compromised.
The web disappearance note retweeted by Jan LeCun today connects to this. A Pew Research report found that 26% of web pages from 2013 to 2023 are no longer accessible. That is a quarter of the web that existed a decade ago gone. The combination of disappearing historical content and manufactured synthetic presence is a particular kind of epistemic problem. The past is being erased while the present is being fabricated. For AI systems trained on web data, this is a training data integrity problem as much as a societal one. Now shift from information integrity to the economics of who builds AI and what they are actually building.
There is a sharp discussion thread on the machine learning subreddit today about whether the data scientist role is being quietly absorbed into AI engineering, and it gets at something real that is worth spending a few minutes on for founders who are building teams. The original post is from a data scientist who describes their role as having been silently morphed into AI engineering, with the foundational scientific work, data quality, architectural literacy, evaluation design, error analysis, becoming an afterthought in favor of deploying generalist models in existing workflows. The post is honest and thoughtful. The author is not claiming AI engineering is bad. They are observing that the identity and skill base of their profession is dissolving into something adjacent.
The responses are usefully diverse. One director of AI in healthcare and insurance, a field where this tension is particularly acute, makes a prediction that is worth filing away. They anticipate a swing back toward traditional AI tooling, as executives discover that generative AI is not the magic bullet they were sold. The prediction is that agentic systems will get housed under automation and business process management teams, while traditional predictive models and anomaly detection stay with data science teams. That is a reasonable organizational prediction, but it requires companies to have the discipline to separate these concerns, and most do not right now. A more pragmatic commenter says, "Your employer wants to see results. If you deliver the best results with traditional models, they won't give a damn about what you're using." That is true, but it obscures the real risk. If you are a data scientist who spent 10 years developing expertise in statistical modeling and the cost-performance frontier has shifted such that a fine-tuned LLM outperforms your bespoke pipeline at one-tenth the development time, the skill base you built does not automatically translate. The question is not whether your skills are valuable in the abstract. They are. The question is whether the places where they are most valuable are still the places where the highest leverage work is happening. One response that cut through the noise: LLMs win at all NLP tasks and are getting better at traditional computer vision.
This encompasses essentially all traditional tech use cases. That said, LLMs are way too expensive to apply at scale at billions of rows, so surrogate modeling, distilling LLMs, is very much a thing. That is the nuanced read. There is still a role for the statistical rigor and architectural literacy of traditional data science, but it is increasingly at the edges. The cases where inference cost at scale forces you off the foundation model. The cases where you need a bespoke evaluation framework. The cases where you are building the training pipeline rather than consuming one. For founders, if you are hiring a data team right now, the question of what you are actually hiring for has become genuinely ambiguous.
A data scientist who is excellent at classical ML but resistant to generative AI tooling is a different hire than one who bridges both. And a strong AI engineer who never learns statistical fundamentals is a different risk profile than one who came up through that school. The role convergence is real, and the talent market has not fully priced it in yet. Swix made a related point today in a post that has been widely retweeted. The hot skills of today become the post-trained targets of tomorrow. he was riffing on the idea that whatever capability is currently most valuable in a human engineer becomes the behavior that labs will train into their models in the next cycle. If prompt engineering is the hot skill today, it will be internalized in the model next year.
If RAG architecture is what distinguishes a good AI engineer today, that expertise will be automated. The implication is that the skills with a long shelf life are the ones that require human judgment at a level that is genuinely hard to supervise, not the ones that are currently scarce because the tooling has not caught up yet. Now, a quick builder practical segment that does not need a lot of setup. There is a Reddit post from the artificial subreddit today from someone who built a RAG system for Islamic finance rulings, and the engineering insight at the center of it is applicable to any high-stakes domain. The problem? Islamic finance rulings vary by jurisdiction, and a wrong answer has real legal consequences.
The standard approach, telling the LLM to refuse if it is unsure via the system prompt, does not work reliably. The model still speculates. The fix that actually worked? Kill the LLM call entirely at retrieval time. If the top K chunks score below 0.7 cosine similarity, the function returns a hard-coded refusal string. The LLM never sees the query. The author's insight is worth quoting. No amount of clever prompting is as reliable as just not calling the model. Additional engineering notes from the build. Face on Hugging Face Space's free tier is ephemeral. Every cold start wipes the index, so the solution is pushing the index to a private Hugging Face dataset and pulling it on startup.
PyPDF2 on scanned PDFs returns nothing. OIFI documents are scanned images, so web version HTML via Trafalatura beats OCR. And jurisdiction metadata on every chunk is mandatory. A Malaysian ruling and a Gulf fatwa can say opposite things on the same question. And without that metadata, you cannot surface the relevant context. The comment thread is useful too. One responder notes that 0.7 is a solid starting point, but most production teams end up tuning it per query type or document class. Some domains need 0.8 to 0.85 to avoid edge case drift. Another observation. The key insight here is that hallucination prevention is a retrieval problem, not a generation problem. That reframe has broad applicability.
If you are fighting hallucinations by adding instructions to the system prompt, you are working at the wrong layer. The right layer is retrieval gating, what gets into the context window in the first place. For anyone building in legal, compliance, medical, or financial domains, this pattern deserves to be a first-class design primitive, rather than an afterthought. Confidence-gated refusal at retrieval time, before the model ever sees the query, is architecturally different from post-generation validation, and more reliable. Now, for today's deep dive, DeepSeek V4 is out. V4 Pro with 1.6 trillion parameters and 49 billion activated, and V4 Flash at 284 billion parameters with 113 billion activated. Both support 1 million token context windows. V4 Pro has a 384,000 token maximum output capability, which one Redditor tested by asking it to generate a single comprehensive HTML web OS and got 100 kilobytes of working HTML. The model is available on Hugging Face, and increasingly on OpenRouter. The benchmarks are strong. V4 Flash appears to score roughly equivalent to Gemini 3 Flash on artificial analysis benchmarks at approximately one-fifth the cost. One commenter estimated that a user doing 10 AI searches per day and 2 hours of agentic coding per week would spend roughly 50 cents a month on the V4 Flash API. V4 Pro shows meaningful gains on coding tasks relative to the prior generation. The architecture incorporates manifold constrained hyperconnections, a technique DeepSeek published a paper on a few months ago.
There is a 384K max output window that is genuinely unusual in the current landscape. All of that is interesting, but it is not the main story. The main story is in a single Reddit post from the Singularity subreddit that most people skimmed past. The headline? DeepSeek confirms Huawei-based V4 inference. After the 950 supernodes are launched at scale in the second half of this year, the price of Pro is expected to be reduced significantly. Let me unpack what is actually being said here. DeepSeek is not just releasing a new model.
they are announcing that their production inference infrastructure for V4 runs on Huawei's Ascend 950 accelerators, not NVIDIA GPUs.
And they are signaling that once those 950 supernodes reach full operational scale in the second half of 2026, the pricing will drop further. Why does this matter for builders and founders? First, the unit economics of inference are not fixed. They are a function of the hardware stack, the software stack, and the supplier relationships underneath them. NVIDIA has maintained extraordinary pricing power in the AI compute market, partly because there has not been a credible alternative at production inference scale. If DeepSeek is now running production inference on Huawei silicon, that is not a research result. That is a supply chain diversification happening in real time.
One commenter in the thread made the point cleanly. They're not just optimizing the model. They're trading NVIDIA margins for Ascend supply. Once the 950 supernodes scale, this could undercut everyone in the open weights tier. Second, the implications for export controls and geopolitical AI strategy are significant. The U.S. government has been using chip export controls as a tool to constrain Chinese AI development. The underlying assumption is that without access to high-end NVIDIA and AMD hardware, Chinese AI labs cannot build frontier capability. What DeepSeek V4 running on Huawei 950 suggests, if verified at scale, is that this assumption has a finite shelf life.
The CUDA moat, the software ecosystem built around NVIDIA's hardware that has been one of the most durable competitive advantages in tech, becomes less relevant if alternative hardware can run production inference on models that are competitive at the frontier. Third, the pricing trajectory this implies is real. V4 flash is currently at 0.14 cents per million input tokens, 0.28 cents per million output tokens. Those are already aggressive numbers. One commenter did the comparison and noted that at 284 billion parameters, this is technically slightly more expensive than V3.2 was on a normalized to parameters basis, but the capability has increased significantly.
If the 950 supernodes bring that cost down further in the second half of this year, the floor for competitive inference pricing drops again. For anyone running a product where inference cost is a meaningful line item, this is directly relevant to how you think about your margin structure and pricing. Fourth, there is a detail in V4's architecture that matters for practical evaluation. One community member on Local Llama noted that the V4 series does not appear to support image analysis. No multimodal capability in this release. That is a real limitation for anyone who is hoping to route vision tasks to a cheaper DeepSeek endpoint.
The 384K output window is extraordinary, but if you are doing anything with images or documents that require visual understanding, V4 is not a drop-in replacement for Claude or GPT 5.5. Fifth, and this is the part that gets into territory where there is genuine uncertainty, early evaluations from community testers are mixed. One person reported that the current API performs almost worse than V3.2 with the current API issues, and shared benchmark screenshots showing degraded results. DeepSeek noted in their release documentation that they are experiencing GPU shortages, which is why prices are currently higher than the eventual target, and that inference quality may improve as capacity scales. This is an important caveat. The model is fresh, and the infrastructure is under load.
The benchmarks from the official release materials and the real-world API performance are not yet aligned. If you are evaluating V4 for production use, do not trust either the official benchmark charts or any single community test. Run your own evaluation on your own tasks. The broader framing that has been floating around the community, and it is worth naming because it is overblown, is that V4 proves DeepSeek has surpassed frontier Western labs. That is not what the evidence shows. What the evidence shows is that DeepSeek is running a competitive model at substantially lower inference cost on hardware that is not subject to U.S. export controls, with a pricing roadmap that could compress margins further in the second half of the year. That is a meaningful competitive development.
It is not AGI. It is not a decisive win. It is a supply chain and cost story with real implications for the structure of the inference market over the next 12 to 18 months. The Huawei silicon point also has a narrower implication worth flagging for builders who are not necessarily following geopolitics closely. One of the structural assumptions in AI product planning has been that inference cost is primarily a function of how efficiently you use NVIDIA hardware.
That assumption shaped pricing models, shaped the economics of compute credits and API intermediaries, shaped the investment thesis for inference startups.
If Huawei's Ascend infrastructure can support production-scale frontier inference, the set of entities that can offer competitive inference expands beyond the current NVIDIA supply chain. That does not mean you should immediately bet on Huawei-backed inference providers. The software stack is less mature, the ecosystem is narrower, and the geopolitical risk cuts both ways. But it does mean that the hardware monopoly underpinning current inference pricing is under more pressure than most Western founders have been modeling. Simon Willison posted today asking for a Hugging Face feature. Add a repository size sort option so he can find DeepSeek quantized models that take up the smallest disk space.
It is a minor note, but it is a tell. Even practitioners who are not primarily local compute focused are starting to think about how to run pieces of these large models locally for specific tasks. The community interest in quantized V4 variants is already high. Now, let me pull the thread from today's news back into something coherent for founders. Swick's thesis, retweeted widely today, is that 2025 was coding agents and 2026 is coding agents breaking containment to do everything else. The agent parameter mismatch data suggests this breaking containment phase will be messy.
Agents are now capable enough to be deployed on real tasks in real systems, but the infrastructure around them, the tool interfaces, the validation layers, the monitoring, is not mature enough to catch the failures that are invisible by design. The 37% silent parameter mismatch rate is not a model problem. It is an infrastructure problem. And it is exactly the kind of problem that does not show up in demos, does not show up in benchmarks, and only shows up when someone adds a logging layer to their production system and actually looks at what is happening. The DeepSeek on Huawei story is the infrastructure version of the same issue at a different layer. The model layer is advancing quickly.
The hardware layer is diversifying in ways that compress pricing and complicate the geopolitical assumptions. The tooling layer, the monitoring layer, the validation layer, those are still catching up. The gap between what the models can do in principle and what the systems around them can do in practice is where most of the real risk and most of the real opportunity lives right now. One last thread from today's content that is worth a brief mention before we close. The local Llama community announced rule updates today in response to growing bot and spam problems. The sub now has minimum karma requirements for posting, explicit rules against AI-generated content without disclosure, and updated enforcement language.
The reason this is worth noting is that local Llama has over 1 million weekly visitors at this point, and the mod team is explicitly acknowledging that LLM-based bots are getting through standard Reddit defenses because they are using older accounts with established karma. The community cannot reliably tell the difference between human and LLM posts. That is the same problem, in miniature and in a low-stakes context, that the science paper on AI influence swarms is describing in a high-stakes political context. The detection problem is unsolved at every scale.
There is also a paper posted today on the machine learning subreddit titled, "There Will Be a Scientific Theory of Deep Learning," a 14-author perspective paper arguing that a theory of how and why large learning systems work is emerging. The framing is learning mechanics as a discipline, analogous to how statistical mechanics sits between microscopic physics and thermodynamics. The paper argues for 5 lines of evidence that a coherent science is forming. This is not directly actionable for most builders today, but if you find yourself in conversations about why models behave the way they do, why certain fine-tuning approaches generalize and others do not, why scale affects capability in predictable ways, this paper is trying to build the framework for those conversations.
Worth a read if you are the kind of person who wants the scientific foundation rather than just the empirical observation. Before we close, let me flag 2 items that were in today's content but have limited signal to noise for this audience. Europe's markets watchdog issued a warning about AI accelerating cyber threats. One Reddit commenter said this would have been more insightful in 2022. That is roughly right. It is a regulatory statement of concern rather than a new finding, and the concrete recommendations are vague. And Wright State University is leading a $2.5 million federal initiative to bring AI education to rural Ohio.
The initiative is real, and the access gap is real. But the community thread's most salient comment is the one that says access matters, but needs to be paired with basic AI literacy and evaluation skills, not just tool access. That is true, and worth keeping in mind for anyone thinking about education or workforce training programs in the AI space. That is the show for today, April 25th, 2026. The headline for Builders is this: DeepSeek V4 running on Huawei Silicon is a supply chain story, not just a benchmark story, and it has real implications for inference pricing trajectories in the second half of this year. The agent parameter mismatch data is a reminder that the infrastructure around your agents matters as much as the models inside them. And the quiet erosion of signal quality in forums, in social media, in the web itself is an underappreciated risk for any product that aggregates or surfaces human opinion. Thanks for listening. We will be back tomorrow.